Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, welcome to our Friday Fellowship of Learners. We will continue in worship as our prayer are being prayed in this song, explaining and describing the lesson today and our search for the God we may not know. The awesome wonder. Awesome wonder.
And all of the marvelous attractions that his hands have made. Flowers and birds and oceans and mountains. Truly God is an awesome wonder.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Awesome wonder. He has omnipotent power. When we start our day in awe of whose we are and who he is, it gives us a confidence to trust everything he has said. And that's a game changer. That changes the atmosphere. That changes the atmosphere of everywhere you go, every time you walk in a place. Think of Peter when they walked and they passed him and their shadows healed whoever the shadows fell upon. That's that omnipotent power of God that he releases through us in the earth realm to bring about his will on earth that it, as it is, have been written in heaven. And one thing to understand is it is not a work of labor for us. It is a worship for us to allow his power to flow through us to other people. One of the important things about the all-powerful nature of God is it's in place. It is, its purpose is to fulfill and to highlight his character, not our character or our understanding or our precepts and preferences, but God's precepts and preferences. So often we want to engage him and his omnipotent, all-power nature in something to satisfy our character or something that our hearts long for. And if it is not our will, not his will, he is not, he cannot do what he does not will to be done. And so as a result, if we are to walk with him, we have to walk with him humbly, seeking to know what his will is for us for each moment of and each step of our journey. Praise the Lord. We don't want to look at it as a big picture of something we got to perfect and I got to make a plan and I got to go here and I got to do that. No, he said, you know, enjoy your stroll with me. Just Adam did in the cool of the evening when we walked together. And there was nothing to do. It was just something to be. Be in his presence. Be at all at who he was. Be in a place of adoration for who he was. And so we have come out of the garden. You know, we've been forced out of the garden. However, we've been brought into another. And that's the place that Christ has prepared for us. So now we're not in the garden where he comes down and walks with us. He says, I am with you always. I walk beside you. There's nowhere you go that I'm not there. And he revealed these mysteries to us so that we can be at awe at who he is, and we would be in a place of trust and faith to do what he says. And so there's so much that is available to us through this omnipotent all-power of God that he has shared, well, he has shared. He released it in us through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we want to be able to understand the treasure that we have because he is all-powerful. So it's the kind of thing that you don't have to be rich, your daddy rich. And so you proceed through life like you have a rich father. And that's what he wants us to proceed through our journey because, not like, but because our father is rich in all things. He is all things. He's created all things, and all things are created because of him. So some people may say, well, I don't know. You say, you know, they Big Bang and that's what created. But the Bible teaches us about the power of God in creation, in preservation, and in resurrection. I love that because we don't always on that resurrection power of Jesus Christ, because we don't always get a clearer picture or deeper, more intimate, progressive understanding of what that means. And it obviously was a big thing because it resurrected Jesus Christ, and we can say it resurrected Lazarus. But also, we know that it took us from darkness into light, from death into eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even more than that, what it resurrects, we need to investigate. So that's one of the things the author shares with us. He resides in resurrection. He resides in resurrection. We read the story about those dry bones, and that was a powerful vision of resurrection. And yet what he does is even more powerful than that. That's only a glimpse of the wonder, but there are the resurrection power from creation and creation's authority and creation's intent for us. He is bringing back to life through his son Jesus Christ into us. So this resurrection power has to be understanding in our spirit that cause us to rise up over all fears, rise up over all distractions, rise up over all illnesses and all of the strategies and the attempts of the enemy to steal our destiny, to get us off track. You know, you ever had something that you, I didn't want to think of a train, but you're putting something together and it's got to stay on that track, a very narrow track, and it's got to fit perfectly or the machine won't work, or whatever it is you're putting together will not work. And that's the way this is in God's sight, in God's kingdom, going into a place of a deeper, he said, when you surrender, and I love that song said, so we surrender to your omnipotent power. We get out the way. We step back, you know, and we, you know, we show them who we are. And that's what makes the battle the victorious battle for us. We step back, and all they're going to see is Christ and the blood covering us, being not just our covering, but our conclusion, if you will. So all those things that were a part of Christ's life will be a part of ours, including eternal life at the table of the Most High God. So this all-powerful creator, not just creates, but he preserves it. So what the book, I asked some questions, and we're going to get to the questions in a minute, but what would happen, you know, if God didn't bring the morning? And trust me, he brings the morning, because if he doesn't bring it, we won't see it. And what kind of chaos would ensue if just one of the things God does every moment of our lives he ceased to do? We would be shipwrecked. And a lot of the things that, you know, the enemy had told Adam, oh, you won't surely die. You know, it is that same mentality is like, oh, you'll be all right. No, mentally, emotionally, physically, every aspect of our being is going to be in need of life that it will not have if we are not surrendered and under the power and the authority of God. If the earth wasn't, the bugs and the ants and the leaves and the trees, yeah, and the flowers and the sun and the moon and the stars, if they just started doing whatever because God is not preserving in that spot. And then I just love God. Not only does he place them up there, right? But he places them up there in a wonderful pattern that at a certain place in our life, he reveals it to us. Like, look at that star. It forms a Big Dipper, okay? But he does that. And that gives us insight of the creativity that he has. He knows, and anybody knows, that has a young baby, in order to have them grow successfully, grow up and maturate, then they need to be stimulated. You got to put things around them that stimulate them, that pulls on what's in them so that you can bring it out. Well, God does the same thing. He puts these things all around us. And one of the things are the pattern of the things in the sky, in the cosmos. And we may feel, you know, well, it's just there. None of this is happenstance. Everything was done intentionally by God with us in mind. And I have to say that, with us in mind, because he wants to reveal himself and all his glory to those that he has chosen. And just like when you're dating and your gentleman or you're the gentleman, you put your very best feet forward. You make sure everything you have done that's on an impressing basis is brought before that person so that they will choose you. And that's exactly what God has done. He's done this so that we will choose him because he gave us a choice. He is a lover, but he does not force his love on us. He pours it on us, and we can either embrace and wrap ourselves up in it, or we can wash it off with sin and it not bless us as he wants us to. And so this omnipotent, this all-power nature of creating and preserving, and not just for a moment. How often do we do something and we create something or we're part of something, and we may do it for a minute or 2 minutes or a day or 10 years, but at a certain point, we're done. We're going to walk away. Well, I'm tired now. I'm older now. I'm moving on to something else. He never moves on from anything that he has established. He maintains it, and it takes on his nature of everlasting according to his will and his purpose. And so it's nothing he gets tired of. I love it. The book shares the fact he doesn't sleep. He doesn't get tired. Nothing is too hard. There's nothing that he can't do. But what he won't do is violate his character. And so often we request of him things that would violate his character. But that's only because there's aspects of God that we have not been deeply and intimately made aware of. There are mysteries in who he is. There is an awesome nature about him that we haven't even begun to understand. But he promises us that he will reveal these mysteries to us as we obey and come up hither. And so this all-powerful attribute of God is one that comes not just with power, but as the book shares in the summary, it also comes with authority. So there's one thing to have authority. I have a right to do this. We may all have authority over certain things, but we don't have the power to bring it to pass. And he has them both. The book shares the fact that the authority has more to do with exercising his power and his right to power. He made it. So he's got the authority, even though we deny him that. But he has the authority to tell us what to do, to tell us how to do it, to tell us when to do it. He has that authority because he made us, and he made us for a purpose. And it would just be ungodly for him to make us do what he wants us to do. He wants us to choose to do because this is not a relationship that is built on doing, but it's a relationship that's built on being. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. He wants it so deeply from the love that he has, and we can't really fathom that he gave his only son. Go down there and let him beat you up, spit on you, and stab you, and disrespect you, and blaspheme you, and threaten to kill you, but do it, because I want them to be with me. And the son agreed, and he came. And that it was no small thing, and we realized that from the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, Lord, you know, this, can we do it another way? You know, if not, we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done. And it's going to have to be where we stand. That's going to have to be the position that we take. It's hard, but the Bible says it's not hard. So it may be a difficult thing to endure, but we are willing, are a living sacrifice, and that is just our reasonable service. We should do more than that, okay, because of all that he has done on our behalf and for us. And so when we see the fact that he doesn't sleep, nothing is too hard. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't even get tired of us. His patience and his mercy, it do what? It endures forever, because he knew he would need to, because he created us, so he understands and he loves us, and he has making whatever arrangements are necessary. His authority has put it in place, and then his power makes it work. And so the difference between authority and power, and knowing that our God has them both, okay, and all of this is to help us to become a part of his strategy for the earth, his strategy for creation. We hear a lot of things that are going on in the earth realm today, this, you know, 2/25/22. And today, there's a lot of things that are going on, but God has an agenda for them. But that agenda starts with us. And so in order to get us to step up, to come to the line, if you will, of the Lord's, that was not the front line of the Lord's agenda, because Christ was the front line, but to come as the army kingdom on earth, we have to have a confidence, a faith, and a trust in who we are serving. And so these attributes are given. This is by our spiritual boot camp. Know who army you're in. And there's a confidence. You got one set of confidence if you're in the Russian army from the confidence you have if you're in the Ukrainian army, because one is massive and the other isn't. However, we know that small things become much in God's hands. So it is the strategy and the knowledge of the weapon and the enemy that you have that gives the confidence that David had when he went up against Goliath. Yeah, he definitely was the short, what do they call it, the bad bet or whatever, the bet you, the one you wouldn't bet on, put it that way. However, and Goliath was so confident in who he was and how he was made and the Philistine army that was behind him that he laughed at David. It's like, you're not even a challenge to me. Let the enemy think that about you. And then you pull out your stone and your faith in the Most High God. How can these circumcised Philistine. Talk about my God. No, it won't be so. Not without me stepping up. And that's the position. That is the posture we are to take in these times that we have been called into the service of the Lord. And so many times, so many different things may want to hold us back from making that stand, from stepping up and going up front. You know, he could clearly say, well, the whole army of Israel, none of them are doing it. You know, or how about this? None of my brothers, you know, they big, strong, strapping men that, you know, think a lot about themselves. Let them go do it. But he didn't. He didn't use the excuse that I'm too small. I don't even have a sword, and there's not the armor to fit me because I'm too small. There were all reasons that he could have stayed back. However, he didn't let any of those things deter him because he knew something about God. And the reason he knew, he had been a shepherd, and he had been out in the world, and not so much his brothers, because they were always, well, like I say, they were strong, strapping men, and they did the other things. But David, they sent out in the wilderness with sheep among wolves and bears and lions, and he had to defend those sheep against all odds because they belonged to his father, and that was his job. And that's what built his character. He understood some things about how God was going to take care of him because he knew that God would empower him. I mean, this all-powerful God could use this little scrawny boy and kill a bear, take the jawbone of a, well, that was the other man, but, you know, kill the lion. So what came up against him, he was victorious through the strength of the Almighty God, and he knew that. So that made Goliath not an issue for him. And then he had... Yes? He had such a trust in God that he felt even, you know, what if I die, I die. Because if that's his will, let it be his will. But I cannot let them do what they're doing. And just the issue here being, that's the position, the posture we are learning to, presume to get into that posture because of the places that he needs us to go. There's stuff, there's information about him that he needs us to know. And he doesn't want us to go to these assignments thinking we know it all. The things about him will take an eternity for us to know. And so those things that we know now, they're not even the tip of the iceberg. But he will reveal those things as we surrender to his awesome power, because then we'll start looking for it. We'll start looking for this awesome wonder, the wonder of his person. I think it's the lesson scripture we're thinking of. So we've started off with a pretty much a summary of this chapter. We'll look at the questions. So I pray that you have your scripture. We definitely want to look at question number 5 and the number 4. 3, 4, and final, because I think we did 1 and 2 last week. So questions, comments, insights, you're on speaker. Take your phones off mute if you want to share with us. We would love to hear from you. Good morning, Oprah. Good morning.
You covered a lot of ground. I mean, you know, I don't know. So this is going to probably seem like really disjointed of sorts, but I'm going to try to make the point? Because, you went from a lot of different things. So, you were triggering things as you went along the path. So when I first got on and I was a little bit late getting on, 6 to 7 minutes getting on, but where you were talking about staying on track, that we needed to stay on track, and I think you used an analogy of a train, and you were saying something narrow, and when you said that, what came to mind to me was a zipper. But anyway, that would be just a great kind of thing. You can go up and down. If it's working as designed, it won't come off its track, the lead part of that, but we have to engage. And then when we disengage, your zipper comes open, and I know this only because I got bad zipper on my jacket. Anyway, that was the thing when you were talking about. Then you went on and you were going into the whole idea of God took away his hand from us. And just in the reading, where I am or where we are with Wednesday's things on some of that stuff, it made me think of when God executed the plague of darkness on the people. He just made it dark, and they were saying like they couldn't even see in front of their hands. And so everybody just had to stay in. So, I know you were talking about the things that were more extreme, but I guess that's extreme too. But just the fact of if the light is just gone, even if everything else is still intact, that we would still be crippled, and not be able to function as a person. Then when you were talking about the whole idea of children and having to be stimulated, I thought about the other side of that it is that stimulation that we look for, that response to the stimuli that we look for to determine if a child is not where, based on normal, whatever that is, air quotes, guidelines, on where they fall if they are not. So just that whole idea that we do that to stimulate, but just as a spiritual kind of template, when we don't react, then that means something is not being processed, or the growth process is being stunted, or whatever, lagging in that. And then I think I just had one more note because you were going so fast. I was like writing notes. I'm like, oh my God. when you were talking about God never sleeps or slumbers, because we're doing that proverb thing, the whole idea that there's one in there that says a little sleep, a little slumber. This is a paraphrase. A little sleep, a little slumber, hands folded in rest. And basically it says, and you will be impoverished. that poverty will come. God never sleeps or slumber, and we need to know when we sleep or slumber and take a little rest that poverty will ensue, basically that we need to be working. I had something else, but I can't think of it. So anyway, I'll shut up. But anyway, so, great thus far. I'm just listening. It's just so many things that's triggering so many other things, so many other streams of, spiritual consciousness on different levels and stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's good insight. And actually, it's interesting the way God teaches this class. I'm learning. I am learning because when he so wants us to know some things, but he wants us to be able to not just have a knowledge, he wants us to connect the dots and to understand why. That's those precepts. Don't just know what the law says. Understand why it says that, why it's a law, and what benefits it has, and what detriment it'll be if it doesn't. And so that is just one that a lot of people may know. The law says you can't go 150 miles an hour. You know that. Okay, if you do that, you've broken the law. But do you know the penalty of going 150 miles? No. Well, some of you may if you've done it. Okay. But basically, we don't know the premise. We don't know. We do understand it would work very well if people were not limited with the speed that they could go because it would affect other people, you know. So then it becomes a whole precept behind one law. And we're not always aware of all of the elements. And I just see speeding because it's something I know everybody does. I don't do it, but y'all do it. Okay, and I don't just because I don't drive. And what I do drive, it doesn't have speed limits, so it doesn't matter. But knowing the precept behind it, and that's what he wants us to get. Because then, and that's the beauty of knowing these things, will cause obedience to it to be a breeze. Because you know what? It will just make sense, even to the simple. Because the Bible says what the Holy Spirit gives you an understanding makes even the simple to know. And so it comes to a point where, you know, a kid will tell you, why are you doing that? That don't even make sense. Okay? Though in our complicated adult thinking, we trying to justify doing something that we shouldn't. But the simplicity of it comes when you really grasp and understand every aspect of the thing that you're doing, whether you're doing it for the good or doing it for the bad, okay, or doing it for the flesh. I'll put it that way, not necessarily bad, but doing, well, it would be bad for the flesh, and you should crucify your flesh, but doing it for, it's not bad, but the flesh. And so I believe that as we come to our Friday fellowship of learners, we hear things from things we've already heard. And that's why they're words from the Word. When he first gave me that title, I went, that don't make sense. You know, well, I argue with God. But, you know, I was trying to understand, and more I'm understanding what it means. And so they are words that we share or that he gives us that come from the source of them are the Word of God. So these are the precepts that he is unfolding some of the mysteries to, because sometimes we don't know. We just, it's just a matter of, you know, not being aware. So we do want to give you always opportunity to share, and it's never, you know, I'm talking too long, I'm saying too much. You give me opportunity to do other things, and I appreciate that, okay? All right, anybody else? Thank you, Elder.
Overseer?
Yes.
Good morning, all. As you were speaking about the statutes, the laws, and precepts, I think it was Peter, because the disciple that was speaking, apostle who was speaking to the Israelites, and they were telling him, he was repeating, I think that's in Peter, he was repeating the things that they had already gone through, and he told them it needed to be repeated in order for them to understand and learn, get knowledge of what's going on. So that's brought that to mind when you were speaking about that. So that's how, why we need to continuously hear it, receive it, and practice it. And it's not, whether it's repetitious or not, like you say, there's going to be something new and something revealed in us as we grow.
Amen. Amen. A beautiful scriptural reference and a concept. He really wants us to get that. But we don't always hear those kinds of messages in our normal gathering. And so I love the way God customizes things for what we need when we need it. And he makes sure there's an instrument available to produce it. And so I appreciate our Friday time. And because like I say, I sit and I listen and I learn from what I'm saying, and I'm not saying it, but it's things that he wants to bring to light for us, because he knows what tomorrow, remember, he's omniscient, omnipresent, And he knows the end from the beginning. And so he is always preparing us for our next. Always, every day, every moment, he is preparing us for our next. So the any more insight? Thank you. That's Ohio. Yay. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to look at question, what did I say? 3 and 5. I want to look at 4. It says, look at Jeremiah 10 and 13 in the section titled, The Power of God is Resident in Preservation. I don't know why I have such a problem with those two words. But anyway, what do you think would happen if God had created the world and then left it to survive on its own? That's part A. And then B, what reality are we assured of through the word of God's power? So that's part A, part B. Somebody take your phone off mute and talk to us. Okay. Okay, then I'm going to ask you a different type question. When you look at creation and you look at the things that God has done, what? What one thing? Okay, when you take a mental tour of the entire created order and single out one element that most amazes you, okay, then what element would you point an unbeliever to a truly remarkable aspect of God's creation? Which one would you choose? You have to share that with an unbeliever so that they could see the power of God's creation and respect it. So what amazing thing, when you look around God's creation, would you use just one thing and you would share that with the believer to show the remarkable aspect of God's creation? Which one would you choose?
Well, one thing I think, if God wasn't, you know, in control, if he had just left the world, you know, without any direction, it would just be total chaos because man is evil. There would just be, you know, we already have murdering going on and all kind of inhuman things going on, but it would just be even worse. And then if God, in his infinite power, if he did not let the rain fall from the sky, you know, the rivers, the oceans, the lakes, and all of that would just dry up, especially with the heat that comes from the sun, which he controls that heat which comes from the sun, you know, because you know that heat from the sun with puddles of water on the ground dries that up. Now, and we imagine that if he did not control that heat, it might not be the right word, that comes from the sun, it would just dry the lakes up, dry the oceans up, dry the rivers up. We would not have any water to survive on because man's body needs water.
Amen.
So that's just one thing.
Amen. And you go even beyond that. You sit. Now, we wouldn't have water.
but then nothing that we eat could grow because it wouldn't have water. So we starve to death, and, you know, we die of thirst. And and then, that's really sick, but I'm going to say it anyway.
I was thinking about the air. Then I was thinking about the air we breathe.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
You know, he produces that. Man don't have any control over that. Man can't make air. You know, those are two major things that God, only God, you know. I don't even know if they know where air comes from. But, I mean, they can't make it. They can't produce it.
No, they can't.
You know.
And I think what's beautiful.
The fan to cut on. The fan is not making the air.
No, it is. And the fact that you
close the spouse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Was someone else going to share?
I was thinking about pollination, how the different bugs, the bees, the birds, man can try scientifically to explain that, but even when I was in school, it didn't satisfy me because they have no power over how that bird or a bee or that bug was created. You know what I'm saying? They can't tell you that, not really. And how it makes the flowers grow, the grass grow, and continuously every year, every moment. It's happening all over, not in just one area where they study. It's all over the world. Nothing but a God like that we serve can possibly do that. Man's limit is within a laboratory, and that's it. But all over the world at one time. At the same time, it's amazing. It always it made me wonder how they could possibly come up with these studies. It's just unbelievable.
Amen. And go one step with you. The only thing they can study is something that God already created.
Already. Amen. It was already there for them to study.
Exactly.
You're right.
So you're going to use what he is to prove you're like him. You know, that's why I say it's laughable when we really sit
and step back. It is.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is that. And yet, we believe the thing. You know?
Yeah.
Tiny, you
we did.
You can't do that.
And wait a minute.
Church.
I did when I was a kid. You know, that satisfied me until I got closer to God and said, what is these people are out of their minds?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's right.
And
that
is the power of deception. Absolutely.
That's right.
Now that you know, they cannot deceive you any longer concerning that. And that's where God
wants us all to be. So true. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Praise God.
Excellent.
Praise Him.
And I look at his energy, the wind, the natural things that we take for granted, and say with tornadoes and different things that occur, but how he created the wind and how he created the energy all over the world and the elements of who he are, who he is, and it's like that's how he's so sovereign and he do what he want to do when he want to do it. And I look at in every part of the United States, here it might be 75 degrees. There is maybe 40 or 50, you know, but the elements of everything all over the United States, Australia, anywhere you go, it's a different season and a different time. And only God could have done everything that he has done. And it's just wonderful in his sight. And it amazes you when you see all the goodness that he, you know, only he can. Man can't say I did it because man have no control, only God.
Yeah. You know what I was watching? I love that
Go ahead. Now, I was watching a podcast, and they live in Finland. And so, and then there was another one that, you know, out of the States, and they were talking about the snowstorm. And, you know, we just had snow and stuff going on here. But what amazes me sometimes is when I see them, it's snow. But they have flowers and things in bloom and all that stuff out there. in bloom and all of that snow. And I'm saying, my Lord, you know, I asked one of the ladies, I said, is it winter or summer there? Which one is it?
Okay.
I just wrapped my mind around. How can you have all of the snow and ice and the flowers and everything is just green and blooming? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I love it because you guys are saying here and then in Australia. But how about just here in Chicago, where one place is a storm, the other place
right.
is wind, mm-hmm. another place
yeah.
is raining, somewhere else is hailing within a 20-mile area. And what I love about it is the weatherman just don't know. And I wish they could tell us. It's
no,
going to, well,
know.
Maybe, but I'm not sure. So this because they don't
right.
know. You don't know what God's going to do. And you just
I'm
don't know.
To talk to Minister Paula. It's snowing downtown, and it's not snowing over here. Or
mm-hmm.
it's raining across the street.
There you go.
It's not snowing.
Right.
It's chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Only God.
And that's just, that's our God saying, you want to see something? Let me show you something. Okay.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
It. And so mm-hmm. we should be at awe at it. Now, the question
yeah.
is, of all those things, what would you point an unbeliever to in God's creation? To try
oh,
to
convince
them.
Sure.
Okay. I use the analogy of the air we breathe. Always. That's
okay.
One of the main things I always tell them, you know, who do you think created this air we breathe? Man didn't. And if you stop it right now, all creation
die. Amen. Okay, we got the air. Anybody else? What would you point to in God's creation? I think one of the most powerful things to point to is you.
Hmm.
He created man. There's nothing more complicated and just in free and so dimensional as man, his mind, his body, his soul, his brain, his heart, his toes. I mean, it's amazing, man, that he created us. And I think that people in all that they do, you're not as intimate with anything else as you are yourself. And there has to be times when it was beyond you how you still were maintained. Okay. You know, so I really feel like the very, what do I want to call it, pinnacle maybe? The very top of the thing that God created is man, mainly because he created him with his own hands. Everything else was spoken, but man was made with the hands of God, with the things that God created. He is just such a powerful, awesome God. And when we follow the, you know, they usually say, You want to get to the truth, follow the money. Well, when you follow light, you get to the truth. And he is the source of it all. Amen.
And over here,
amen. I love
and,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, and I think about when he breathed breath and man became a living soul. Had he not given us the breath to breathe, and when you inhale and exhale and allow that clean air to come in and that bad air to go out, and I think about people who can't breathe, have problems, breathing, but when you breathe in him and breathe in the Holy Spirit, it's a different kind of breath. But when he created us, he gave us breath. He breathed in breath, and we became a living soul. And imagine had he not given us breath, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. That's true. Absolutely. And the part I like
also,
about
overseer. Okay. Also, we have to also, God gave us he gave us, we can't create nothing without him. He gave us the mind, just to open up and take in his knowledge that like we say, he made the air, but then he also taught man how to make oxygen for people that can't breathe. Okay, what he has done for the whole world, then he's still giving out other. He's given us knowledge on how to even to keep it. Sicknesses, how to heal it and everything. Yes, he touches us. Yeah, he's the one who's touching us and healing us. Mm-hmm. But he's given us knowledge also. Don't eat this. Don't do this. All the knowledge that God has given us, just on top of knowledge on top of knowledge on top of knowledge on top of knowledge. It's just God has given it to us.
That's awesome. He is the source of everything. It starts and ends with him. That's it. And that's according to his will.
Yeah.
So just the very fact that he chose us, he could have chosen the monkey, he could have chosen the ant, he could have chosen the rock, he could have chosen anything he wanted to be his children. But he chose us.
Yes.
And that needs to put in us a certain level of worship. Knowing these things about God is to build our worship. Just that awe at just when the sun comes and when the sun don't come. All of it's the worship. Absolutely.
Yes.
I just think it's such a powerful understanding to pull back the deception and let the truth marinate in our minds, then our minds are transformed because his power transforms. Because once it reveals itself, it takes over everything, and it can only make sense his way, technically. And so those things are what is to... free. That's how, when you know the truth will set you free. This is the truth that sets you free.
Hallelujah.
Deception of the enemy. I'm not listening to you because we all know he's a liar. But the problem is, really, you can't do nothing for yourself. Okay? You, as my grandson said, you are going to hell, okay? That's where you're going. You can't change it. I on the other hand, mm-hmm. can change where I'm going. And we can. And we should get excited about changing that for other people by sharing
yeah.
the gospel of Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
You can change. You ain't got to go where he's going because he can't do nothing for his own self. However, we can because of Christ and because of
yes.
the love that sent Christ, which is a part of that incredible power of God. And that's the power that transforms. Yes.
I just wanted to share a scripture.
Yeah, yes, yes.
If I may. It's just four verses, so I'm not going to kill you.
No problem.
And this is out of Jeremiah. Scripture that the
Good.
Author hangs the preservation on. But the Lord
okay, yes.
is true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. Tell them this. These gods who did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes the clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends light with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. And that's just 10 through 13, but
yes.
he was talking about, in that question you raised, verse 13, but that was
yes.
kind of in context from Jeremiah.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
and when,
yes.
when we're talking about these things, just the act of conception, just think about how many people want to have children. Me and my sister were talking about this last night. How many people want to have children? And, no, I'm sorry. And not me, children, me and my client. And but the whole act of conception, no matter what folks do, if God doesn't make it happen, it just doesn't happen. You know, and then you have other people who aren't even trying, you know, to procreate, and it seems like it just happens effortlessly. You know, I think Minister Pat just said he is a sovereign God, you know.
Amen. And I love it because no matter what you do to stop it, you can't stop it unless you want. You spend all the money in the world on all the devices in the world. But if this to come forth, it's coming forth. Because as he said, he is sovereign and he's almighty. Oh, Lord. It's just incredible to place the name of that character on every situation that comes up. Just do that today. Whatever comes up, what is the character of God that's being revealed to you? He's always going to be revealing his character. So what aspect of his character? That's one thing I love about that awesome wonder. You know, they talk about he's changeless. He's every day. He's everywhere. He's everything. You know, and everybody knows it, the kings and princes and everybody knows, and everybody do. They may have rejected it. But at this point, he says, the earth testifies to who I am. So I don't care
yeah.
what remote place you're living in. He created it, and he got something there that testifies to the fact that he is God and there's nobody like him. You know, so the scripture that said even the gods of the earth, I love that, they're going to perish. Okay. So, this is wonderful. Anybody else? Well, we are going to go into our next chapter. God is, and everybody say it with me. God is what?
He is good.
Good. Yeah,
good
there
God.
You go. God is
God
good.
Is good.
God is
good.
Jesus.
Yeah,
that's
all
it. God is good. God is good. God
is
good. Absolutely. So that will be the chapter that we go into on next week, which will be March. Wow. Glory to God. He's a timeless God. But we are timeless. We are time-sensitive people. But he is a timeless God. And I think when we start viewing his timelessness, that is that right? Timelessness. There's some things we won't hesitate from doing. You know, a lot of times you go, oh, I don't have time for that. You know what? God's got time in his hands. And I have seen him in the prayer of, to control time. What do you say, Elder? What is the prayer about time? Anyway, he can control it. But when we leave the church at 10:30, leave your house at 10:30 and we still get to church at 10:35, that's God doing time. We're timely. And that's always my prayer. Say that again.
Well, he's holding. I mean, like we running late, and you know you can't be there in 5 minutes, and you miles away or whatever, and just seem like he holds back that time. He just creeps so that we can get there on time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He does. Yes, he does. I am a witness.
Yes, he does.
Oh, God. Thank you. You get there and you realize you didn't miss anything because it hadn't started.
There you go.
That's the good part.
He held it back.
Yes, he does.
Because
he don't want us to miss
what he has for us. That's right. You got it. Absolutely. So that aspect of God and all the aspects that he is revealing to us and the precepts behind them, we desire that our heart will embrace and obey and rejoice therein because they bring a worship from us that I don't care where we are, we're going to do it. That's one of the things that is going forth in the ordination and the sound that the conference coming in May, the sound of worship, the sound, worship,
and they have
a war cry, whatever your war cry is, sound it.
Yeah.
So we thank God for our Friday Fellowship of Learners, and we pray that you will, I'll try to think if there's an announcement, but I don't know them for sure. So they do have a lot of March Madness coming at Babies for Christ at the headquarters, physical location, theater. Sunday is next Sunday. We're going to see a movie.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, well, you can see it online, okay? So even if you...
Will everybody have a mic so we can hear them?
Well, you know, we're supposed to. You know, somebody's supposed to walk around with the mic. But, you know, people like me that say, oh, I can talk loud. I don't need a mic. We're going to have to stop doing that because we're going to think of you and say, oh, she can't hear me. So
we can't hear none of y'all.
I'm just gonna talk about.
I love y'all.
I don't want the mic.
I want to hear.
Okay, well we will. I mean, because theater Sunday, we will make sure we have a mic. Let's see. After theater Sunday is another Sunday, of course, that I don't remember what it is. But here it is. Okay, after theater Sunday, then we have the gospel brunch You can't do that online. And then we have the Illustrated Sermon on March 20th. And then on March 27th, we have the Seven Wonder Experience in the whole church. So that should be very interesting. Okay. So that's our 10:30 a.m. worship experience for the month of March. And I'm trying to see something supposed to happen this month. Overseer looking at her mail. But you're definitely invited. The gospel bunch. Oh, okay. But anyway, so do come and have fun with Jesus. Because, you know, this journey is a joyous one. And we just want to be able to rejoice in him. And this is our worship. Amen. So, know, embrace, obey, and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See you next week. See you next month.
All right. Love you.
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
Okay.
Blessed week, everyone. Weekend.
Yes. You as well. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the sunshine.
Amen.
That's sunshine.
Amen.
Thank you,
that's one thing. Ooh. And I know people are hanging up. But one of the things I wanted to mention is the fact that this war that's in Ukraine and in Russia, I heard a prophecy, and it indicated, and there are scriptures that, you know, support this, that God fights wars also with the weather. Because he'll say from heaven, he'll send down. And so there are all kinds of ways to win a war. So do pray for freedom and God's will to be done in that part of the earth. Even if you have
Amen.
All right.
Yes.
Be blessed.
Yes.
Amen.
All right. Be blessed, everyone.
Okay.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.